If we go into some scriptural text like the Gita, and we say, who is making these statements? And it says very often, the sages say, and the great ones say, and the philosophers say, that was their experience. I cannot adopt or imitate that experience. I can allow myself to be inspired. And through that inspiration, I have to find my own. The gurus that I have met were such an inspiration to me, of which Swami Sivananda in India was, of course, the very first one. I call him always the spiritual mother who gave birth to my spiritual life. And he was my very first experience in that field. And so whoever I have met afterwards was, of course, also gauged against that very first experience. Sad state of affairs if somebody meets a person who proclaims to be in the spiritual field and then later on is only all too human and not carrying through what is taught, not setting an example. We may not have the right to expect an example, but it is certainly extremely helpful. So, because if that example was uplifting, evolving us from our human nature, from everyday life, into some other realm, then all others are met in the same way. By that I mean to say, having experienced Swami Sivananda and having been rather critical, I haven't taken anything without any particular criticism, I think I had my eyes and ears open, and I would also challenge him in return by saying, but you're making a statement. Everybody can make a statement. And then he would take the time and explain things in more detail. And later on, because of this questioning, a wonderful relationship developed. But then came a time where he said, now go and meet Ananda Mohima. Go and meet Swami Randas. Meet Purushottamananda. Very wise, because all these additional experiences were all seen and put parallel to the experience I had with my own guru, including the Tibetan guru, who was probably the second in line in regard to wisdom, practicality, and application. How does it then fit together with the Gita? We have to experience what it says in the Gita of those who were the channels of deep inspiration of what is termed Lord Krishna. In our Christian culture, we have something similar. We really don't know what Jesus or the Virgin Mother was. We are told all sorts of things. But if we try to find out text that is untampered with, that means as original as possible, we can tune in easier. But even if that is not possible, who speaks Aramaic, who knows ancient Greek, who knows ancient Latin to make these comparisons? The very tuning in will remove the obstacles that have been put there by people who wanted scripture seen, understood, read, and studied in a particular way to their advantage whatever they had in mind with people. And that applies, of course, also to Buddhism. Buddhism has also undergone, like Hinduism, like any religion, like Islam, many changes according to the rulers who had the power and who did these changes for convenience sake. So if we want to know the Gita, we have to think that the source of that inspiration, the source of that knowledge, is called or named Krishna, Lord Krishna. And then we have to say, have you said that? Is that really what you implied? And if you implied that several thousand years ago, would you say that to me today? And if you go into your meditation with a strong, demanding desire, I implore you, tell me, what shall I do with what is here in these pages? How much is what I ought to do? Then the quietness of your meditation and your daily reflection, combined with looking into your unconscious through your dreams, you will certainly get the answer.